Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Imagine that you've just started your young family and you lose your spouse. Then you turn to writing your first book, which becomes a huge success, but then you lose all the money from that in a Ponzi scheme. That's actually what happened to author Jacqueline Michard. She's the best-selling author of the book The Deep End of the Ocean, which was made into a movie starring Michelle Pfeiffer in 1999. In the years since that book, Michard left the Midwest and moved to Cape Cod, remarried, and created an even larger family. She also continued writing. Her latest book is titled To If by Sea. Like The Deep End of the Ocean, it's a novel about family and loss, but two major things are different. This novel is written from the perspective of a man, and it contains elements of fantasy mixed with realism. When we sat down with Michard, I started by asking about her own family and the fact that she has 9 children. Yes? 9.
Get out of here. I do?
That's unheard of. How does that even happen?
I guess it was a date that got out of hand. I can't really explain it even to myself. I was married twice. I was widowed in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And then I married another guy, and he had not had the pleasure of having children or being married before. And it kind of wasn't fair to say to him, just help me raise the children I have, my 4 kids. And so we had some kids, and then truly it did get out of hand. Our last 2 children were born in Ethiopia, our 2 daughters, mm-hmm. who we adopted from Ethiopia. And you would think this was difficult, but it really isn't difficult because large families have a very different ecology because the kids are very interdependent and independent.
But, you know, your books and your writing really focus a lot on family.
They do.
So obviously you think it's important from a personal and a professional perspective.
I think family is a deeply subversive topic. I really do. It would be hard to think of a book, and maybe The Road would be one, or The Great Gatsby, two. But other than that, it's hard to think of a novel that we all know that isn't about family, really. So I would say that my books indeed are about families and the different ways that families occur, but they aren't domestic. I don't know how to exactly express that, but they aren't what you would call necessarily family dramas. They're big dramas that have families in them.
But they're also, I think, sometimes, at least to me, saying something about your biological family and then the families you create and what those biological ties might or might not mean.
Many of the families in my books are what you would call non-traditional families, are families that are created from the elements of other things that happen in people's lives. Other events.
Is that what you think is the most fascinating thing to you, and that's what sort of gets you on a book trail to continue writing? Or what is it?
What gets me on a book trail to continue writing is figuring out the mystery of the characters, figuring out why they are compelling to me when they're under pressure. Putting people under pressure is what novel writers want to do. They take perfectly decent people and put them under an extraordinary amount of duress so that they reveal themselves most completely. It's when people are under pressure in life, and certainly when people are under pressure in fiction, that they become either their worst or their best selves, and that's probably extraordinarily true in my first book, but also in my most recent book.
Let's start with your first book just briefly. That was The Deep End of the Ocean. And as you mentioned earlier, you had lost your first husband while you were working as a reporter before that book came out.
Loss shaped my writing of that book entirely. I was dancing with my husband at the second inauguration of the first President Clinton, if you will. And and who knows what happens? Who knows what happens in the world? And he said to me, someday we're going to tell our grandchildren that we danced with the president, as we were reporters together at that event. And 4 months later, he was dead. And I was a woman who wasn't yet 40 and had these young kids. And I really felt the need, beyond sustaining their lives, to create something that would be the next big thing in my own life. And that was writing a story. I had had a dream in which a woman lost her son in a hotel lobby and for 9 years didn't know what had become of that child, didn't know whether he was alive or dead. Finishing it and getting it published was a signal to me that we were going to go on and we were going to survive, if not thrive. I had no idea it would be a hit.
Huh. I mean, it was Oprah's first book club of the month hit, and then the movie with Michelle Pfeiffer. I mean, holy cow, right? I mean, what was that experience like?
It was swell.
I can imagine.
There was no... People say to me, sometimes other writers say to me, well, they explain to me why they wouldn't have wanted that to happen. They say, I wouldn't have wanted that artificial blip in my career. But what they're really saying is, I wish that would have happened to me instead of you. You know, she didn't have a book club. She just created a book club because she wanted to have The Deep End of the Ocean on television. And I didn't even believe that. The first two times she called me, I erased the message because I thought it was someone horsing around
really?
With me. Yes. It said, this is Oprah Winfrey, and I have loved The Deep End of the Ocean more than I have loved any book I've read. I just erased that. And the next morning it said, this is Oprah Winfrey, I wish you would call me back so we could talk about. And the third day she said, this really is Oprah Winfrey. I don't know if you are the rudest person in the world or if you really live here, but if you do, could you please do the courtesy of calling me back? And I was laughing as hard as you are now. When I called her back, she started to laugh too. And my publisher said, at least if there's never a second Oprah Winfrey book club book, you'll always have been the first.
Wow.
Because no one thought that anyone would want to attach reading to television and that no one would read a book because she said to. And by the end of the night when that show premiered, that television show, that segment, there were 4,000 holds on that book at the New York Public Library.
Mm.
And it just was a stunningly wonderful, terrific experience with no downside.
But then you had tragedy hit again, and you've written about this, not in a book, but I've read articles where you wrote about losing all the money you made in a Ponzi scheme.
It seems that I do have epic luck, epic good luck, and epic bad luck. And the way that this occurred was that my husband trusted the wrong guy. And that back then... You know, Bernie Madoff was not a household word. This was not Bernie Madoff. There are some things that people go into a big building where they're advertising financial services, they believe. And this guy didn't have it in the trunk of his car.
Oh, boy.
It was just really bad luck.
Let's talk about your latest book, Two If by Sea. This is a story of Frank Mercy, who is under a lot of duress in this book. He has a lot of tragedy, but there's also some fantasy in the book, so it seems a little different. But what's most strikingly different, I think, is that it's told from the perspective of a man.
That's right, and I had never tried that before. I had never wanted to write from the point of view of somebody that I had never been or never would be in my life. Mm. But the character, it really is it's a fantasy, it's a thriller about the possibility of being good, which doesn't sound very thrilling. but trust me, it really is an adventure. There are all kinds there's all kinds of mayhem in this book. And just when Frank thinks that he's gotten to a place where everything is going to be fine, something else happens and something else befalls him and the miraculous child that he has rescued from a flood, Ian. I learned to authenticate Frank because my older sons sort of validated the character for me. They made sure that he behaved like a real guy in the sense that he would try to do things that were simple to solve complex problems, mm-hmm. not talk about his feelings
right.
until it was too late. And but to do all the right things, sometimes for all the wrong reasons and with all the wrong timing, but ultimately to be, in a small way, an ordinary hero. because that's what Frank's called upon to be in circumstances that he never wanted.
Do your sons, when you talk about them as writing from this perspective, do they read things for you at all? Or is this just watching them that you've been able to sort of write about Frank?
I cajoled one of them into reading some of it, and he was very encouraging and very complimentary about this book. As a rule, none of my children, though all of them are certainly of reading age, as a rule, they would rather change the muffler than read a book that I had written that was written by their known mother.
You know, also in your latest book, you say it's about the challenge of being good, but there's also a part of the book that talks about people who are not good at all and can't be affected by the good. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that there are people who apparently have almost no soul?
I believe it's a real thing.
Yeah.
I believe that there are people like Lewis who are...
Who's the bad guy in the book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's really bad. He's really a bad guy. And I believe that there are people who don't have what is construed to be a conscience.
How do you compare this latest book to Deep End of the Ocean? Are you... You're in a different place. You haven't had a loss like the loss of your husband, although you did have a loss when you lost all of your money, but... How, and you're writing from the perspective of a man, so it's different in that regard. But how have you changed as a writer, and how do you compare the two stories?
I think that the two stories are similar. It's not that they're similar in the writing of them. It's not that the stories themselves are similar. The events are not similar. But if you're writing from a position of desperation, whether it's the loss of a loved one or of all of the things that you believed that would happen in a certain way of life, that you believed that you wouldn't have to be afraid that when someone called on the phone and wanted you to pay the water bill. When people say it's only money, it really is only money. And I am grateful to whatever mercies there are in the universe that this wasn't a threat to my children or to my health or to our very safety. But when I started writing this book, it was from a position of darkness and not very much hope in my own life. And as a result of that, I think I took as many chances as I've ever taken in a story since The Deep End of the Ocean. It means something more to me because it's an essential meditation on good and evil. And I was thinking about good and evil a lot. I was thinking a lot about what could make someone want to hurt people he didn't know, and what could make someone believe that that it was right to make people be their best selves. So I was thinking about those kinds of things as I was writing this story.
And because of that, though, I mean, how, because of those tragedies, how do you get up and rally, I guess? How do you do that? And what kind of pulls you through?
The fact that you don't have any choice. Mm. You could sit in the closet and chew on your raincoat forever. You could become one of those drooly people who goes around describing how sad she is. But tragedy can be boring. Even at first, I learned this when I was widowed. That at first people are, it's exciting and it's almost interesting to be live next to the house that was struck by lightning. Yeah. But after a while, people expect you to dig in and pull up your bootstraps, and you have no choice but to do that if you want to live a life in which there's some possibility of joy or even enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to. No one would choose to spend years mulling over the same tragedy. You have to try to get up and do something that needs to be done. And probably having a meaningful existence, and probably having all those kids who were looking to me to be some kind of example of someone who had courage was really important. I think maybe the most important thing in the world to me, if someone said, get a T-shirt, you know, it would say, be good and try to be brave. or be brave and try to be good, well, depending on the day.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in to talk with us. It was terrific.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Jacqueline Michard is the best-selling author of The Deep End of the Ocean. Her latest novel is Two If by Sea. You can find more information about it on our website, radioboston.org. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.